You're listening to the First Baptist Rockdale Sunday Sermons Podcast. First Baptist Rockdale is a church dedicated to making disciples who make disciples. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
We're in the book of Proverbs chapter 8. If you have your Bible, you can flip to Proverbs chapter 8. The bulk of the book of Proverbs is pithy statements to instruct you how to be wise. But the beginning of the book of Proverbs, as we've seen, gives us some longer discourses about wisdom. And wisdom itself is not overly hard to understand. Wisdom is knowledge that you're able to apply at the appropriate time in your life. So to have the knowledge to do something and then know when to apply that in your life. So it's, you know, knowledge would be to, you know, recognize the speed limit in front of our church is 30 miles an hour. Wisdom is to discern that the police station is across the street, so your speedometer should say 30 when you're driving through there, right? Knowledge and wisdom are related, but they're not synonymous. You can be full of knowledge and lacking in wisdom. You can know all sorts of facts and not know when the right time to share those facts is, when to apply them to your life. And a lot of times we make a mess of our lives not for a lack of knowledge, not for a lack of knowing the right rules or the right things. It's really from a lack of wisdom that we don't apply the knowledge that we have been instructed. A lot of us were instructed. I was raised in the church. I've been underneath the instruction of the Lord since I was, you know, negative 9 months old. I began to be instructed in the way of the Lord, and that has continued all the way to today. I have ample knowledge. The question is, will I pursue and use wisdom? And that's what we're going to look at today. Why is wisdom so difficult to use sometimes? And just to spoil it for you, it's difficult because you're stubborn. That is the answer. So let's read in Proverbs chapter 8. We'll do the whole chapter today, so we'll be reading a good bit of scripture. So buckle in, read with me. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Besides the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries aloud, "To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. From my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her." So we see this picture of wisdom personified. Sometimes you'll hear this person referred to as woman wisdom or lady wisdom, standing in the streets, calling out to people, saying, "Listen to me, hear and be wise, heed my instruction." Wisdom is begging for you to listen. Likewise, wisdom is directly kind of like in opposition to the last several chapters of the Bible, where you have this adulterous woman who's sitting on the street corners trying to entice people to follow folly, right? And entice people and calling out to everyone who passes by, "Come into my house, come into my room, come into my bed," right? So we have this comparison. Both wisdom and folly are crying out for people. Wisdom's voice is evident for all who would pay attention. In fact, wisdom is here if you will but listen. Wisdom is right here speaking to you in this very moment if you will hear and heed the voice. But oftentimes, we would much prefer the voice of folly. Wisdom cries out aloud in the streets, begging us to come and be wise, begging us to value her wisdom over choice jewels and gold and silver. But we are offered shiny passing baubles of the day from folly, and we run headlong after those things. There is stuff that is of eternal value and worth that wisdom gives you: joy, life, posterity, children that will walk in wisdom and not folly. Right? A lot of our life, if you're a parent in here at least, a lot of your life is looking to build a legacy for your children to inherit beyond you. And it's not just wealth and property and things. It's a legacy of a way of life. To pass on to them the things that you were passed on to you. We had our Sunday school class right before this, and one of the people in there was lamenting how difficult it is to instruct children on the value of things. And when they were young, they'd have to save up their allowance and work hard to do things. And then they would value the toy that they got or the collectible item that they were able to purchase because it was at a great cost to them that they were able to obtain it. But other people, and nowadays it's so frequent, right? You go into the store and the kid begins to whine. And to stop the kid from whining, you put the thing in the cart and you say, let's just move on with the day. And then you go home and this toy that they really, really wanted, this item that they were really excited about, becomes forgotten about and broken in short order, right? And as a parent, we're trying to instruct our kids to value things in the same way that we had. We're trying to pass on a legacy for posterity. And a lot of what we do is seeking to do that. Guys, wisdom is right here. She's not hiding. She's not difficult to locate. God isn't trying to make you go on a very difficult scavenger hunt to figure out the best way to live your life. God is screaming from the rooftops, follow this path. And for a lot of us, that path is so well laid out because like if you were raised like me, like it was like my parents walked that path in front of me. And so it's even easier for me. But for some of you, you weren't raised in the faith, you weren't raised around the faith, but wisdom still is hollering to you. Don't follow after the foolish endeavors of this world. Don't sell, like we have in the Old Testament, we have the story of Jacob and Esau. And one thing that jumps out about Esau is Esau is a lover of folly. Right? Esau is hungry, and so he sells his birthright. Like for momentary discomfort, he gives away 50% of his inheritance. For a moment of hunger, he gives it away. And so many of us follow after Esau's folly. We chase after momentary pleasures to meet momentary felt needs. And wisdom is hollering, don't do that. But we don't listen. So why don't we listen? Well, as I said, it's mostly because we're stubborn and we like shiny things. The benefits of wisdom are seen in decades of life well lived. The benefits of folly are seen in a moment. In a moment, you'll experience the joy of folly, right? The adulteress who tempts the man to come into her house, right? He will experience the joys of folly immediately. I mean, in minutes, he'll be like, man, this is amazing. I'm so glad I did this. Now, he'll have a lifetime of regret and a lifetime of consequences from that, right? But in the moment, he can see and value it. The path of wisdom can take decades to fully benefit, and it benefits generations beyond you. So many of us don't have any long-term thinking. You sit down with your advisor at Edwards Jones, and they lay out your estate planning, and you have worked very, very hard to set up retirement and college funds and everything for everybody that you know and you love. But you have done no purposeful planning about what you want to pass on to your children beyond the financial blessings the Lord has given you. You live for the day. Folly is calling and you hear. Wisdom is screaming and you ignore. Guys, wisdom is here if you will just but listen. Continue down in verse 12. It says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. By me, kings reign and rulers decree what is just. By me, princes rule and nobles, all who govern justly. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries. And so we have wisdom that's calling out in the streets, wisdom that's begging us in the streets. But you see like this kind of opposite of wisdom, right? Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech, wisdom hates. And this idea is this short-term gain that comes from wrong living, wisdom hates. Wisdom loves discretion and knowledge, and wisdom desires to bless you with good things. Good things like counsel and honor, right? Wisdom is what counsels the rulers to rule justly, right? We're in a country right now that needs rulers to rule justly. We need people to take in the whole of the situation and to deal with difficult problems with difficult solutions. I got in here this morning. I was talking to someone, and they were sharing the problems of the world with me. And let me tell you, when you start to talk about the problems of the world with me, I can get going. There's a lot of problems with the world. And I have all the solutions, I think. But at the end of it, after I spoke for a while, I said, you know, the truth is, this isn't my problem to solve. Like, we vote for and elect people to solve these problems. We need them to solve the problems that they're creating. And you can find your own problem. There are countless problems out there, right? In our local little community, we have an 18-year-old boy who's in a detention center somewhere from a traffic stop, right? Been in the country for 12 years. And you say, well, law and order, and let's keep the border safe and secure. Sure, yes, I agree. I want the border safe and secure. I'm with you there. But when you've got an 18-year-old kid who doesn't know much of anything else, we need our rulers to rule justly. We need wisdom to be in their ear, whispering to them how to solve complex, yes, difficult, yes, situations, but not too difficult that they can't be solved. We need wisdom. Wisdom desires to bless us with counsel. Wisdom desires to guide us in our decision-making, not just the rulers, but you and your life and the way in which you raise your children, the way in which you handle your employees. God desires to give you counsel through wisdom so you rule justly and uprightly. He desires to bless you with honor, respect, right? There are good blessings from following wisdom, but a lot of times those blessings are out there. They're down the road a piece. And you're going to have to suffer for a little while in obscurity. And you're going to have to do some difficult things. And you're going to have to make some tough decisions to get the outcomes that you want. And a lot of us would much rather short-circuit that and get immediate gratification. And we throw wisdom aside and we seek after the most current, quick fix that we can do to satisfy whatever felt need we have. And instead of being blessed with counsel and honor, we're blessed with poor counsel, like what Rehoboam's counselors. You know the story of Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, comes to power. Solomon was a tough leader. The old men who advised Solomon said, look, your dad was a hard man. He was wise, yes, the people loved him, yes, he built a temple, yes, he was a hard man to work for. They will not work for you like they worked for him. They do not respect you like they respected him. They will rebel if you keep your foot on their neck like your dad did. You need to lighten up just a little bit, and they'll love you forever. And Rehoboam said, well, that sounds like something. Let me ask my friends. And he goes to his friends to give the exact opposite advice. No, these people are ungrateful, insolent people, and you need to step harder on them. Say, my dad whipped you with whips. I'm going to scourge you with scorpions, right? You need to tell them that you thought things were bad. You work for me now, and show them that you're the boss. And Rehoboam heard the wisdom of his friends, which was no wisdom at all, and said, I like that. The kingdom of Israel was split in half in a day. Right? One man choosing to hear the voice of folly when wisdom was offered destroyed the nation of Israel's unity in an afternoon. We have to be willing to hear wisdom. We have to be willing to pay the long-term consequences of wisdom. It is better on the other side. Blessings await you. They're just over there. Wisdom desires to bless you with counsel and honor. It's right there. But you've got to wait on it. Where does wisdom come from? Verse 22, the Lord possessed me, wisdom says at the beginning of his work. the first of his acts of old. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with its fields, or the field, or the first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle in the face of the deep. When he made firm the skies above, and when he established the fountains of the deep. When he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man. Guys, I want you to know that wisdom is not new. Wisdom is ancient. True wisdom is of ancient origins. The true wisdom of God is of ancient origins. It's not newfangled philosophy, newfangled understandings. A lot of times we throw off the old for the new. A new person comes out, we have a new understanding, we're rereading this thing, we've got further understanding of things. And most of the time, when people have come up with new understandings of deep issues, they are deeply flawed. I mean, deeply, irreparably flawed. The new is not, I'm not opposed to people writing new things. You want to sit down and write a treatise on something, knock yourself out. I just know that if you're carving new ground that you claim to be wisdom, you will almost always be embracing folly. Right? Wisdom is ancient. God has possessed wisdom from the very, very beginning of creation, and it does not change because the character of God does not change. You say, well, I mean, in shifting moralities, and we're a developed society, and now we understand things more fully. You may believe that to be true, but God and his wisdom is more than able to cope with the shifting winds of today. True wisdom is of ancient origins. You should be skeptical of new things that you've never heard before that people say is from God. If I stood up today and I said, in my study of God's word, I discovered a hidden pattern inside of the Bible, and actually Jesus was really a spider monkey, and it's clear in the Bible, and I went through the Bible and I showed you why I thought Jesus was a spider monkey, you should be skeptical that I have come up with this new revelation, because it does not fit anything that you've heard from old. Those old songs that we sing, and I love the old songs that we sing. The reason we sing the old songs is because there's true wisdom from some of those old songs. And some of you don't like the new songs. I know this because I see your grumpy faces from time to time. Some of you don't like the new songs. The reason we sing the new songs is because the Lord says, sing a new song to the Lord, right? That's a command in the book of Psalms. So I'm cool with those too. But the beauty of the hymn book is what all the songs are written 200 years ago, 150 years ago. All the bad songs, they've been thrown away. Right, they didn't make it into the bound book. We're still in the process of calling out some of the bad songs in modern day. And Doc has a very difficult job, by the way. If you want to ever show someone some appreciation in your life, you should go talk to Doc Shuffoot about that. Because I have laid all sorts of rules on Doc. No, we can't sing people from, no, we can't sing this. A lot of stuff that you like to sing on the radio, I'm like, no, we can't sing that. Comes from a bad root. Doc is so restricted on what he can do, and he's willing to take those restrictions because he wants to guide y'all towards singing true songs about the Ancient of Days. Guys, ancient wisdom is from years and years ago. There's new things to be written. There's new ways to express it, but if it's a new truth, it's probably not a truth at all. If anyone comes to you with novel teachings, you should be skeptical of them. So many of us go through our lives and we are fully undiscerning of that. And your dad taught you one way and the good book taught you one way. And then someone said, well, that's just not the way it is in the real world. And you listen to your first boss and you begin to do things the way the real world is supposed to do things. And you find yourselves compromising constantly every step along the way because you've listened to the wisdom of the day, which is no wisdom at all. Guys, ancient wisdom has been around forever. God is the source of ancient wisdom. And we should cling to that because it's from a good source, which is our good God. Verse 32. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. So we have this kind of closing section here, which basically says wisdom wants to be found and you'll be blessed for there. So we should find the wisdom of God and live the blessed life. Find the wisdom that God has for you today and live the blessed life. There's blessings for those who will be inside of the wisdom of God. And you need to find wisdom. It's not hard to find it. Like I said, wisdom is calling out from the streets. Every Sunday, I stand up and I try to call to you with wisdom what God is asking you to do. And sometimes I might get it wrong, but you know what doesn't get it wrong? Whenever I start reading the black and white words on this page right here, when we start the service with a psalm, wisdom is crying aloud for you to hear what God is trying to say. Find wisdom and live the blessed life. It is for your good. It is for generations good. Because whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord, but whoever fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. And where is wisdom personified in Scripture inside of a human form? It is in the face of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the all-wise God who came in the flesh to dwell among us. And Jesus is wisdom lived out on earth. It's why we should make a major part of our life reading the gospel accounts to hear the words of Jesus Christ, because Jesus in the flesh gives us God's wisdom dwelling inside of human form. And we find wisdom in the face of Jesus Christ because Jesus is wisdom. And if you'll find wisdom in Christ, you will live. But if you avoid the wisdom that's found in Christ, you will die. Guys, this is a truth that God spells out throughout the New Testament. That all who would believe in Jesus Christ, who would trust in Jesus Christ, who would live in accord with the commands and the will of Jesus Christ, will live. Right? Whosoever believes in me will not perish, but have everlasting life. But there is another group of people who may hear that Jesus is wisdom, may hear the truth that Christ died on the cross for their sins and rose from the dead. They may hear that truth, but instead they choose to reject that truth. And as the proverb says here, all who hate wisdom, or right, love death. And the end of that game is death. There's wisdom for your life today to how to navigate your family, how to navigate your job, how to navigate the tough decisions that you have today. We should be praying for wisdom, as I said, for our leaders. But wisdom begins in knowing Christ crucified, raised from the dead. That is where the pursuit of wisdom begins. Do you know him today? Have you met him today? Are you in a relationship with him today? Christ came to the earth to show us the way of wisdom, yes, but also, more importantly, for us to die on the cross for our sins so that we might be forgiven in our ignorance. We have loved folly. Christ loved truth and wisdom. And he made a way for us to be righteous. Will you believe in him today? Church, will you believe that today? And if you do believe it, then will you align your life to follow after wisdom like you're supposed to? Right? The ancient confession is that Jesus is Lord. He's Lord. And the Lord of your life is the one who tells you what to do. He commands and you listen. And that goes against a lot of our rugged independence. And I will do things my way and I'll trudge my own path and I'll be the master of my own future and my own world. The truth is, as a Christian, you are the master of nothing except your destruction. We cling to Christ for life alone. Christ is the only hope that we have. And so we make him our Savior, yes, but we make him our Lord, and we listen to whatever he tells us to do. We sing songs like, wherever he leads, I'll go. And we love to sing the songs because they sound good, but the truth is, if he's calling you, will you listen and go? If he's calling you to do something, will you listen and go, or will you continue to follow the path of folly? Guys, I want you to know that God's blessings await the wise disciples. If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ today, God's blessings await you right now. If you would just hear the voice of God and ignore the folly around it and seek after the long-term benefits that are in front of you. If I told you today that you could give me a dollar and in 20 years I'd give you $1 million in return, there's not one person in this room, some of you might not, you may not think you have a 20-year road in front of you, okay? Maybe a 5-year investment, okay? If you give me $1, I'll give you $1 million in 5 years. This is the pastoral certificate of deposit. And you give it to me, you would gladly give me a dollar right now. If you didn't have a dollar, you would borrow a dollar from your neighbor to give it to me because the investment is worth it to you now. And God is saying, I want you to invest that way. I want you to live in that path. And we say, well, yeah, Lord, but I don't see the payoff anytime soon. I'd rather spend this on myself. And we plunge headlong into disaster and folly. The church is largely powerless as an institution in America right now. Largely powerless. And the reason that the church is largely powerless is not that the Holy Spirit does not have power in the 21st century to impact lives and change communities. It's because the church as a whole has loved folly and we have shunned wisdom and we are reaping the consequences of short-sighted decisions. Guys, we need to live for a legacy. Parents, you need to invest in your children. Some of you are grandparents now. You move beyond the realm of parents. Maybe you're great grandparents now. God bless you if God has given you a lineage like that underneath you. Invest in those people that God has put below you. Pour your life into them. Give them everything that you have. Put wisdom into their lives. Live your life with wisdom in front of your kids and your grandkids and your great-grandkids so that they might benefit. And you may plant the tree that you never sit in the shade of, but generations to come will, and it's because of faithful people like you. All right, I go into the cemetery sometimes, and there are areas in the IOOF cemetery that are super, super nice. Big trees, wonderful, wonderful coverage. Man, I could sit here for a while. And then you look at like the new area. And if you haven't been out to the cemetery in a while, there's a new area. It's getting closer down towards, I don't know, whatever that back road is out there, the neighborhood that kind of backs in over there. And it's low, and it's just grass, full exposed, no trees or anything. And it's waiting on someone to buy a few plots out there and to go out there and put a live oak tree in the ground. They'll never benefit from. But one day, somebody will, and we invest in the generations to come. Guys, I want you to know the life of wisdom. It benefits you, yes, today, but it benefits generations to come. And as a church, I think we need to pursue wisdom in all the ways that we can. It starts with knowing Christ. If you don't know Jesus Christ today, I want you to know there's no wisdom for you. There's no path for you. There's no hope for you. It starts with Christ. We build from there. If you need to make Christ your Lord, we'll have an invitation. You can do that. If you want to join a church, look, guys, I'm the pastor. I'm an imperfect pastor of an imperfect church serving a perfect God. I will do my very, very best to pastor you well. I am far from perfect. I hope I make that clear on a regular enough basis that none of you hold me up as some sort of sinless saint. But I know the God who died for me. I love him dearly, and I'm trying to honor him in my life, and this church is trying to do that as best we can as well. You want to join a church to make Christ known to this generation? We'd love to have you there. Maybe you need to do some business with God. Maybe you've been pouring your life into hearing the words of folly instead of listening to wisdom. And you know what God wants of you, you know what God expects of you, you know what God demands of you, yet you've chosen to go a different path because it's, I don't know, more convenient, more fun, easier to see the benefits. And you just need to publicly or privately repent. You don't need to publicly, maybe you do, I don't know what you're doing. You need to privately repent, just do business with the Lord. We're going to have an invitation for you to do the business. Whatever you need to do, it's yours to do. Let me pray.